I want to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 24. We'll read verses 13 to 35 of Luke chapter 24. The story of the road to Emmaus. The men on the road to Emmaus. Actually, I said men, but it doesn't say men. It could have easily been a couple. And may likely have been a couple. So Luke 24, 13 and following. Now that same day, two of them, that's two of those who were with the group of disciples, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. So today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Unlike the raising of Lazarus from the dead, which was only temporary, for Lazarus died again, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is permanent, eternal. He is alive today. Jesus will never die again. We read in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 and 25, these words. Jesus holds his priesthood permanently, because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus was put to death at the hands of cruel men, but God raised him up from the dead, and he lives forevermore. The permanent resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is essential for our salvation. Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians 15 that if Jesus Christ was not raised from the dead, we have no salvation. A useless faith. We are still in our sins. Preaching has no point. We make God a liar. And we have no hope beyond death. Good Friday is good because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. The blood of Jesus Christ, given as a payment to God for the penalty and forgiveness of sins, was declared acceptable by God when He raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, Christianity is no different than any other religious system, with just ethics and man-made rules and laws and beliefs. Christianity has the power to forgive sin, release a person from the penalty of sin, make him righteous before God, and give him eternal life only because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Today we celebrate the power of God in raising Jesus from the dead and the life-giving, life-transforming, destiny-changing power of God at work in our lives as well. Praise God! He raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And in Christ, He has raised us from the dead as well. So the resurrection and the power of God demonstrated in the resurrection is essential for our salvation and for God's work of spiritual life and growth in our lives as well. Another very important benefit of the resurrection is hope. And that's what I want to speak about more fully this morning. The hope that is ours in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In the story we read, we find two people walking away from Jerusalem, going to the village of Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. It's probably Sunday, early afternoon, maybe late morning, as they begin their journey to the village of Emmaus. They meet a stranger on the way. He asks them what they're talking about. They tell the stranger they're talking about the crucifixion of the Christ that happened on the Friday. They're also talking about some women who went to the grave and said that the grave was empty, and they saw some angels that told them that Jesus was alive. And lastly, they're talking about others from their group who went to the grave and found an empty tomb, but did not meet any angels and did not find the Christ. In verse 21, we're told how these two people feel. Speaking for both of them, one of them says, "We had hoped that He," that is Jesus, "was the one to redeem Israel." We had hoped. We had hoped. They're sad. They're disillusioned. They're confused. And they've lost hope. They had set their hope on Jesus, a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. They had put their hope in Him to rescue Israel from the Roman oppressors and to establish again the promised kingdom of God. Instead, He was crucified and He was dead. They had lost their hope. Their hopes were dashed, and now they were heading home in sadness and discouragement. As Jesus walks along with them and listens to them confess their sadness and their loss of hope, in love and mercy, He rebukes them. "O foolish ones, and slow in heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Rebuke may seem an odd way to try to stir up somebody's hope again. But Jesus knows that their hope can only be renewed by understanding the purpose of God in the death of Christ, and by discovering that Jesus is indeed alive. So Jesus points them back to the Bible, explains to them that he's the Messiah, the Christ, and that he must die to fulfill the purpose of God. Here Jesus gives meaning to his death and helps them to understand that he's more than a prophet. He is the promised Messiah. In understanding God's purpose, in understanding that God's promise is being fulfilled in his death, and that he is the Messiah, he is determined to renew their hope. I think sometimes we can easily be the foolish ones in our difficulties and circumstances. We too are slow of heart often to believe the word of God and to trust in God in our times of need. We too fail to understand God's purpose from his word, and we do not trust God in the hopeless circumstances that we find ourselves in. We are so self-reliant that trusting God and seeking answers from God's word does not seem practical or workable, and so we continue to live in that hopeless and empty situation. We somehow try to figure it out for ourselves, to work it out with our own resources. How foolish, how unbelieving that is. We need God's loving rebuke to renew our hope. I want to propose to you this morning that the resurrected Christ and the Word of God are what you need to maintain hope and joy in a world that is quickly falling apart. The resurrected Christ and the Word of God are what you need to maintain hope and joy in a world that is quickly falling apart. As evening approached, and these two people and Jesus came near to Emmaus, Jesus made like he was going to go on. These two people asked Jesus to stay the night, and Jesus agreed to stay with them. As they sat down to eat, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. And in an instant, they recognized that the stranger that was with them was none other than the resurrected Jesus Christ. And then he disappeared from their sight, which would certainly be a confirmation of the realization that this indeed was the Christ, the Messiah, the resurrected Lord. Jesus no longer needed to be physically with them, for their hope had been renewed by the knowledge that Jesus was alive and by their understanding, or at least their beginning understanding of the purpose of God in the death of Christ on a cross. At that very moment, they returned to Jerusalem. It was likely at night, yet they determined to travel at night to bring this news back to their friends and fellow disciples in Jerusalem. And when they arrived, they found out that Jesus had already been there and shown himself to be alive to them. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changed their sad and hopeless circumstances into hope. When a person loses hope, they really lose their reason for living. Hope rises when we expect a better future ahead. Hope dies when we see no possibility for a better future. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is our assurance of a better future ahead. First, we have the sure hope of eternal life. Those who do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, who are not sure they are born again, who do not have the Holy Spirit of God living in them, only have a wish to go to heaven. I hope kind of hope to go to heaven, but not the assurance of eternal life and the hope, the true hope of eternal life that the resurrection brings. Those who know that they belong to God because they realize that as sinners they cannot save themselves and have asked God to save them based on the truth that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins, have the assurance in their spirit that they are going to heaven. That assurance comes from the indwelling Holy Spirit, generates the sure hope of eternal life in those who truly belong to Jesus Christ. Eternal life is the promise of a future in the presence of God. The permanent resurrection of Jesus Christ points to our hope of a new resurrected life, a new environment where there is no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more evil, no more sin, no more loneliness or depression, or whatever else you want to put in that list. The resurrection is the pattern for our eternal hope and ever living in the presence of God. The resurrection with new bodies in heaven for eternity is a great hope. If you're still living just with a wish for heaven, based on your own goodness before a holy God, you do not have much hope for the future. But you can have a great and sure hope in Jesus Christ. Like the two people walking to the village of Emmaus, let Jesus lead you through the Bible and explain to you why he came, why he died, why he rose from the dead. Let God give you the greatest hope a person can possibly have, the hope of eternal life, based on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So first, we have a sure hope of eternal life. But not only does the resurrection give us hope for eternity after we die, it also gives us hope for today and tomorrow. My hope of eternal life is a motivating hope for today. Because I expect a better future ahead, I'm empowered to press through my present circumstances. My future hope influences my present hope. I have hope for today because I have great hope for tomorrow. Not only does my future hope give hope in my present circumstances, but the reality of Jesus being alive and with me each day brings even greater hope. Jesus promises to be with me always and in all my circumstances. Jesus knows where I am, what I'm going through, how I feel. He's alive, and he walks with me, and I walk with him. Like Jesus walked with the two on the road to Emmaus, so Jesus walks with me each day, and his resurrection presence produces hope for today. Knowing that Jesus is alive encourages me to come to him in prayer for guidance, strength, the fruit of the Spirit, in confession and receiving of forgiveness. The resurrection of Jesus is proof of the words recorded in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we may with confidence say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? On Wednesday, at our prayer meeting, we sang the song, Because He Lives. And here's what the chorus says. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living, just because He lives. We do not know what tomorrow will bring our way. Tomorrow may mean sickness, even death. Tomorrow may mean trials and discouraging circumstances. Tomorrow may mean financial struggles and even sudden reversals of good expectations. Tomorrow may mean facing a difficult decision or a difficult task. Tomorrow may mean the loss of a relationship or the building up of an old relationship. Because Jesus lives, because Jesus loves me, because you belong to Him, you can have hope in the darkest circumstances. Where there is no earthly hope in sight, you can have unshakable hope because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Jesus holds today and tomorrow in his hands, and he holds you in his hands as well, if you truly belong to him. The resurrection is God's guarantee of a future hope, which brings the guarantee of a present hope, which should bring hope to the heart of every believer. I want to close this morning by encouraging you to spend time daily in God's Word in order to renew your hope. In the Word of God, you will be reminded about the character of God, both that God is holy and hates sin, and that He is a God of love and grace and mercy. You will be reminded in God's Word that God is sovereign and rules over your circumstances, and nothing is allowed into your life that has not passed through His fingers. Getting to know God brings hope when you are rightly related to God in Jesus Christ. The Word of God will remind you of God's purposes in Jesus Christ and of God's work in Jesus Christ, and this brings hope. The world is not out of God's control, but God is fulfilling His purposes as outlined in the Bible. This will give you hope in a hopeless world. The Word of God will also remind you that Jesus is alive and victorious and Lord over all creation. The Word of God will remind you of your need of God and of your dependence on God for life in Jesus Christ. The Word of God is a mirror that reflects to both our sin and our salvation in Jesus Christ. There is great hope in knowing who we are before God, and that He fully loves us and accepts us in Jesus Christ. Romans 15:4 says this, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope." The Scriptures instruct us and encourage us so that hope might be regularly stirred up in us. Even as Christ on the road to Emmaus pointed these two strangers, these two people on the road, to His Word, that they might see God's purposes, that they might understand the death of Christ, and then reveal Himself as alive to them. So we need to remember that Christ is risen from the dead by reading God's Word, encouraging us in the hope that we find there. Because Jesus is alive, because God is sovereign over this world, because we have a future with God, we must walk in hope. We are to be a people of hope because God has raised Jesus from the dead. You must be a people of hope because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead.